joined now by Chief of Police Jeff Schrepfer. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. Doing well.
Great. Good. Great. Well, we you got here fairly early. Thank you for doing that. And we just sat around talking about kids the whole time, so I have no idea what you want to talk about.
Where are we starting today?
Well, in my world, when you have four kids, that's pretty much all you do talk about. Exactly.
Four kids, man. I had two. And I felt like I still have two, thank God. and I felt like when I was raising them, I was the busiest guy in the world. I don't know how you do it with four.
My wife's a saint.
Yeah, evidently. Yeah.
Between that and if it wasn't for calendars on electronic devices, I would never be able to keep
straight. Your kids kind of run the gamut, too, for ages, right?
My oldest is 13 and my youngest is 5. So.
Yeah, so you got a pretty wide range
constantly
there.
Something. You know? So, sometimes I have to come to work to get away from the chaos there.
Yeah, I understand
that. I get to go to work. Yay!
Get these kids away from me. I need bad guys.
A chaos I'm used to dealing with.
Exactly.
So what's
going on with the Northfield Police Department?
There's kind of a lot of things going on right now. So a couple shout outs first. I'll start with it's National Telecommunicators Week. Yeah. So our 911 dispatchers are, the folks that are never seen but often heard, unfortunately, by some. But they're also our lifeline as well. So it's just a shout out to them and the great work that they do. And this is their week to celebrate. So
has the dispatch office moved yet? I know that
they're
moving from Steele County to the old Rice County Jail.
Correct. The old sheriff's office. So it'll be I think it'll be a good move and an opportunity for them to some new technology and to expand. And
I've never been to the current dispatch office, but I've seen pictures and I know they're just bursting at the seams.
Yeah,
so this will be good.
Yep. It'll be a good move. But also shout out to them and appreciate the work they do.
Absolutely.
Truly, they are the one. If people don't understand what National Telecommunicators Week is, they're the one that answer 911 for you when you call in. So you're lifeline to us and fire and EMS. So
I can only imagine how stressful of a job that can be, because every time a call's rolling in, you have no idea what's going to, someone could, it could be a more like, I need help because, something relatively minor but still need assistance is going on versus like a life-threatening situation.
Well, and you've got, it's got to be half those calls. It's got to be people in real distress. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I could never do it. And like you guys are talking about, it's one of those things where to answer that phone and have somebody screaming in there that their loved one, a child, whatever, is in dire needs of whatever.
And you have to remain calm the whole time and be like, okay, just tell me the information. Man.
And to get the information out of them when they're hysterical.
Yeah. Right.
So, they
do incredible work and it's very appreciated.
You know, maybe sometime we could get a dispatcher in here to interview them just to learn more about their job. I think that'd be so interesting.
Sheriff Thomas has actually offered to put me in touch with the dispatch office too. So we're going to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. For sure.
All right.
Other than that, coming up next week then is Administrative Professionals Day on April 23rd, so also shout out to them. So.
Is that strictly for law enforcement, or is that...
Nope, it's across the board, so administrative professionals. So I say, and for like our office, it's one of those things where the front-facing, public-facing part of our office is obviously the officers, but it's the administrative office professionals that truly keep the police department running and do the things behind the scenes that we need to get done, because... Yeah. Cops aren't always so good at, we can do a little stuff on the street, but the paperwork in the backside is not the fun part.
So. Your assistant, Hillary, is a friend of mine. I would cut my left arm off to have her as my assistant. Man, she's fantastic.
Friend of yours at her second job or at...
We work together behind a bar, yes.
So yeah, shout out to them as well. Next week is their day, so I appreciate the work they do as well. And to keep the office moving forward. So, other than that, things going on at the police department, it's TZD, as you've probably heard of, Towards Zero Death. It's a statewide initiative. It's Distracted Driving Month, so you'll see that wave going on now. We're participating in that, and truly the officers are out making the traffic stops for the distracted driving, which typically most of us think of the cell phone, whether it's phone calls, texting, watching videos, whatever it may be while people are driving. So, there's been quite a bit of traffic enforcement with that already, and we're, what, halfway through the month? So just a reminder to put the phone down, focus on driving, especially now as the weather gets nice. I mean, don't do it any time, but now that the weather's getting nice, there's a lot more people out on foot and bikes and things like that. So,
If someone is pulled over with distracted driving, is that like a citation the first time and then like ticket the second time? Or how is it just kind of by the situation?
So you want me to give our secrets out is what you're asking here, Ryan. So, I mean, truly it could be either one, it's officer discretion whether they want to issue a citation or not. But
okay,
it is one of those things, if you get a citation and then you have another offense or another violation, that citation increases.
It can escalate from there.
Yep. So it's definitely one of those things where, I mean, the second offense is like a $250 fine. It's substantial.
So if you didn't already have enough reason, there's one more.
Exactly. So. Years ago, this was before the distracted driving laws were in place. I got a buddy who runs an HVAC company, and one of the news channels up in the cities was doing a story about distracted driving, and they happened to come upon my buddy who was driving his truck, and they put a camera on him. He was on the phone driving up 169, okay, on the phone filling out a form and eating a hot dog while he was driving.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And they got it all on camera. I'm like, Joe, dude, what are you doing?
How do you even? I don't. Ugh, yeah.
Like, and if you ask him, he probably said he wasn't distracted.
I could see. Yeah, he was. I mean, he had the steering wheel with his knee, and which I thankfully have never been able to do. So I just, I don't know how you. I'm as guilty as anybody for having, especially back in the day, having looked at my phone while I was driving. But man, you look at your phone while you're driving, and then you look back up and you realize like 20 seconds have just passed by, and how far, like you just drove half a mile while you were not paying attention. That's a scary feeling.
My parents had it last summer where they were actually on their way to a trip, just a camping trip for the weekend, and driving their truck and had their camper in tow. And my dad just like looked down, not even looked down. I think he said he just was like trying to put his phone in his shirt pocket, you know, so he, like he's still looking, and he just like turned his head for like a second. And what he thinks probably happened is his hand went with it and he skipped or jumped over a curb.
Oh no.
I mean, they're fine. It's fine. It's all fine. Like they lost their camper and everything. But I mean, even just little things like that where you think that you're not distracted.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, I'm just putting my phone down or I'm just doing this. It's like even that in just a few seconds can make all the difference.
Yeah. And it's, and to that point, I mean, it's very interesting, a little bit of science as well here, but where your eyes go, your hands go, and when you're driving, it kind of goes all together. So yeah, you look to the right, left, whatever, that's the way your vehicle's gonna go. So
yeah,
I mean, if he's looking to the left and putting something on his left side, well, he's gonna steer now over the center line, which could be so much worse.
Right. Yeah, it's just the littlest things can make something just go completely haywire.
And the electronic devices are very addictive, and
you
think I'm just gonna look at it quick and not be a big deal, but as you guys are talking about, it's one of those things where I think every day where I drive back and forth to the office, I'll go and I'll see the cross country team out running on the street. I'll see the skiers out doing their cross country ski things. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they're on the shoulders, the bicyclist.
I mean, everywhere. Especially in the summertime around Northfield here, I'm like extra cautious because there's just a ton of people around. So
exactly.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's distracted driving month. So you'll see us out doing the enforcement there.
Good.
I mean, it's one of those things where nobody wants a citation, but on the other hand, all of us have seen it.
Yep.
I mean, right. You see it often when we're driving along too. You look over and you see it.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's very common now, and it's almost like when the law first came out and the enforcement started, it dropped, and now it's coming back again because. Yeah, it's very addictive, and we want that information immediately.
What I think is really interesting is the younger generation. I don't know the statistics, right? But I would guess that the younger generations probably don't. You don't have to deal with it as much with the younger kids as you do some of us older folks who were driving for a long time, and then you put a phone in our hand. I would even, like, when my kids were younger, I would even, if I even pulled out my phone while we were, if I had turned on the car, we were in a parking lot, right? And I'm like, oh, I got to pull out my phone for something before I even pull out. Dad, what are you doing? Dad, put your phone away. Okay.
We should have made officers out of them.
Right? Absolutely. My youngest especially, she'd have been great. All right.
So talking about safety as well on the same line. So I think I mentioned last time I was in here, we're AAA used to do the I Got Caught for kids with
the Dairy Queen
thing. Yeah.
The Dairy Queen thing. Yep. So AAA is no longer doing that. Mm-hmm. But we, as a police department, are partnering with Dairy Queen as well. And Dairy Queen has graciously said that we'll donate the ice cream cones for it. And
that's fantastic.
We're having the little flyers printed up. So as officers are traveling around town for the summer, and technically it goes through the end of the year, but as they're traveling around town for the summer, if they see kids with their on their bikes, wearing their helmets, on rollerblades, scooters, you name it, kind of thing. And they have an interaction with an officer. So thanks to Dairy Queen and in Northfield here, we'll be able to hand out those coupons again, even without AAA partnering with us this year. So
sure.
I think we talked about this the last time you were on too. Like, it's a little bit, I mean, the kids get a little squirrely. They're just minding their own business, and suddenly a cop's pulling them over.
Like, I didn't do anything. No. I just wanted to give you a coupon.
You're right. You didn't.
Yeah, and I've had them in the past. To your point, it's exactly it. Where you pull up next to them, you'll see them riding down the sidewalk or whatever it may be, and you pull up next to them, like, what's going on? It's like, hey, just want to say thanks for wearing your helmet and being safe.
Yeah.
I mean, just the quick change of their facial expression, how it's an issue, like, well, what's this officer want? I didn't do anything to that.
Right.
Huge smile on their face knowing they get ice cream. So,
see, I love programs like this, though, too. I mean, you talk about community policing, right? And that's right there. It's that positive reinforcement. It's great positive contact between a law enforcement and kids. That's a fantastic, and I'm glad you guys took the initiative to keep that program going too. That's great.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's great interaction with us with the kids as well, but even the parents. I mean, it's just because they're looking at it of how many times has each one of us as a parent said, "Hey, wear your helmet," and the kids are fighting you on it, kind of thing. So it's just that extra reinforcement coming from the outside is help, and it gives the positive interaction as well.
Hopefully keep reinforcing those good habits. You know, they're like, oh, I might get another ice cream cone. It's like, yeah, hey, exactly. whatever gets the job done.
Exactly. Along the same lines then, so July 28th, I better look to make sure I get the date right here, is going to be Picnic in the Park.
Fantastic.
Yep, July 28th, Spring Creek Park. So I'm on the shout-out train today, I guess. So Hosanna is gracious on that one and kind of leads that one. However, they're going to need a little help this year, so if anybody's willing to donate, whether it's financially or with labor, whatever it may be, or other donations, food, whatever it could be, Hosanna's going to need some help on that. And so if anybody's willing to help out, they can reach out to the police department, and I can refer them to Hosanna, who's coordinating it. So they take the lead on planning all of this, and truly at the end of the day, we just show up and have fun. But another positive interaction with the community and first responders.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's a great event too. It's hard for me to miss because it's right across the street from my house, but it's really fun to wander over there and you get all the big equipment out, and the kids just love looking at the cars and the ambulances and the trucks and all that stuff. And so it's cool.
So new this year now is going to be a ninja obstacle course.
Oh.
So
no.
Competition,
no.
Rich?
Dude, have you seen my knee lately?
We just got him off the cane. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's a bounce house. I mean, we can bounce you along if we need to. But
I don't think my physical therapist would be happy with me right now. So
I met with Hosanna to kind of kick this off a little bit and talk about planning and everything, and that was brought up as like, oh my God, I can just see where this is going to go. It's going to be a competition between police versus fire on this ninja course.
Right.
Like, I'm just seeing the injuries already. So, but true cops and fire, you gotta
lots of stretches,
you gotta
lots
do
of warm-up.
A cutoff age at like 35 or something, right?
So if Chief Nelson's listening,
I was going to say, if you and Tom mom want to go? That's a whole different conversation.
Speaking of injuries with us older guys, you know, Chiefs can't do it anymore. So, we're looking forward to that. July 28th, be a great event.
Yeah.
And hopefully the weather cooperates with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
What else are we into? So, I wasn't in here last week when it was Severe Weather Awareness Week.
Right.
So, just keeping that in mind. In fact, it sounds like Ryan probably would know best. Are we going to get something today?
We're doing pretty all right. I think they said possibility of a thunderstorm, but it'll mainly be at nighttime too. So I don't think anything too wild or crazy.
So it's just one of them things, you know, we're kicking off here and being a kid from southwest Minnesota of Comfrey, I know severe weather very well from the March tornado. So I can remember that like it was yesterday. So just need to look out for the community. And interesting tidbit of the police department side is we manage the sirens in town. So the severe weather sirens come out of my budget. And
okay.
It's something we manage.
Do you get to push the button every Wednesday at 1 o'clock?
No, interestingly enough, that side of it is all done by the dispatch side. Back to the telecommunicator. So all the sirens are controlled. We could manually do things on our end, but that is ultimately controlled by in the dispatch center.
Okay.
If there is more severe weather and there's the possibility of that, does dispatch like coordinate with you to be like, hey, the National Weather Service is reporting a tornado warning, and then you say, okay, yeah, go ahead, blare the sirens?
So typically there's parameters on, even if there's not a confirmed tornado, there's wind thresholds and that type of thing that play in as well. So, and then, of course, you have spotters around the county and your first responders as well that'll be out watching for it. So there's a lot that plays into it that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, it's a combination of things. The National Weather Service will be in contact with both us and dispatch and others around the county to watch this storm, or we're watching this storm, is what you would say.
Yeah. So it's like, if you do hear that siren, take it very seriously. This isn't something that's done lightly.
And the other thing to remember with them is they're technically outdoor warning sirens. Yeah. So I've heard comments before like, I can't hear them inside the building. It's like, well, technically they're outdoor warning sirens. So you're not necessarily going to see them if you're in the basement of some building or on top of them.
You should be in this studio sometime when those sirens go off, because at the same time we get a thing from
weather alert thing.
Yeah. What's the network? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But we get the whole like electronic noise and all that stuff from.
Suddenly everyone's phones are going off.
But like it's like 1,000 decibels in this thing in this studio, right? And like you're what the hell? Oh, okay.
Well, you are the radio.
It's our job. Yeah, yep. Exactly. If you hear the sirens and it's not the first Wednesday of the week, tune in to KYMN Radio, and weather specialist Bob Matheson will have all the information you need. Right? Yeah. And then we'll call you, Jeff, and then have you come on too.
Tis the season, so hopefully we don't have to deal with it. But
I don't think there was a tornado in Rice County last year, which could mean we're due. So, you know, everyone be vigilant.
Yep.
Yeah, knock on wood, absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully that's not the case, but speaking of that, the National Weather Service and another thing they provide to us is when we have big events in town, we partner with them as well to do weather forecasting and predictions. So, you know, whether it's Pride or it's Defeat Days or whatever it may be, you know, the Picnic in the Park, we'll reach out to the National Weather Service and set, here's our days and here's our times we're looking at, and they'll give us weather updates all the way through it. So it's a service they provide.
That's nice.
So if anybody has a big event going on, the National Weather Service will do that for us.
Awesome.
It's a great deal.
That's great.
Completely switching gears here. So just one another thing I want to bring up, parking issues right now. Two locations for us that we're kind of focusing on around the St. Olaf area and also right here at the library. So a lot of parking, extended parking that we're seeing some issues there. So I don't know if it's the colleges or where it's coming from, but it's the things we're looking at is the over 48-hour parking rules. So I think they're coming in on, that's why I mentioned the college, coming in on, say, a Sunday night whatever, parking the car until they leave on Friday kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, not legal.
I used to live on the corner of St. Olaf and Madison. just you know, 2 blocks from St. Olaf College, and all the kids that can't have cars on campus, man. I mean, Madison Street just gets lined with those cars, and yeah, it's, you know, you learn to live with it in the neighborhood, but it's still kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I agree, and it's something we're enforcing now. So yeah, we're out there marking it, watching it. The last thing we want to do is tow your vehicle, but it's something that we have the authority to do if it gets to be an issue. And I mean, truly, between the St. Olaf side, you're talking, mm-hmm. your area, it's one of those things where it affects the residents, but then now we get down here by the library too. It's the visitors of the library and the other businesses around here. I mean, it's taking up that parking spot that other people want to use and right. should have the right to use.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't want to make too much of a fuss about this because I have parked in front of my office for more than 2 hours at a time, but you guys have been enforcing the 2 hour limit too, haven't you?
Yeah. And I mean, there's more focus on the long term, but yeah. I mean, yeah, especially now as we get into the summer months and people milling around downtown here,
it gets busy. Yeah. And parking's at a premium.
So, for sure.
Yeah. But, all right.
Oh, well, other than that, if you guys have questions, I mean,
yeah, well,
people can reach out.
We always appreciate your time, Jeff. It's always good to see you, man.
I appreciate it.
So. All right.